Over to Genesis chapter number 50.
I was reading the other morning and
I saw something I know it. And I think I knew it. But I don't think I ever preached it. I think I believed it. I just don't think I ever practiced it in my life. And I think probably most of you, about like me, have been conditioned in a much different way than what we're going to see here today. I want to preach to you a little bit on forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness. And being like Joseph and Jesus in this area of forgiveness. And I want you to look in chapter 50. We won't go into a lot of details as far as the history of this, just to remind us that Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery and been very mean and cruel to him. And through the course of events, God had allowed Joseph to be sold to Potiphar and then lied to and then sold in, or put into the prison. But lo and behold, after prison, he got exalted to be in the prince. And now he's ruler. And his brothers, God brought a famine and brought his brothers to the place where they had to recognize who Joseph was as the ruler, bowed to him. And then Joseph brings his family down to Egypt. And so they're down here. And we're going to pick this story up as his father comes down. And his dad is going to live in the land of Egypt about 17 years. And then when his dad dies, the brothers are confronted with this, with their past. In chapter 50 and verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say to, unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought to do evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. Now therefore fear not, and I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now let me give you a quick little timeline here. Joseph is 17 years old. He brings an evil report. I don't know how long after that they took him and sold him into the Ishmaelites, but we know at the age of 30 that he is promoted to be in the prince over Egypt, and so that's 13 years of his life in slavery. We know that there's 7 years of plenty, so that would have put him at the age of 37. And we know after 2 years of the famine, that his brothers came down and all of this story is going to be revealed. So now he's 39. When his dad comes down, he's at the age of 39. His dad lives 17 years and in the land of Egypt. So now Joseph is 56 years old whenever this happens. So he's 2 years older than what I am right now. He's 56 years of age when this story happens. Now, if you add it up and get a couple numbers different, it's all right with me. When you preach it, you preach it, okay? And so for the next 54 years, because he dies at the age of 110, for the next 54 years, we're going to see one of the greatest stories and one of the greatest truths in all of the Bible. I was reading and I thought to myself, I understood forgiveness. I thought I understood it. If I could illustrate that, if you wouldn't mind, I want Christopher, you to come right here and stand. Which brother do you have the most problem with? Just be honest with us. Michael, I figured that. All right, Michael, come here. Yeah, I figured that was the problem. You got to stand right over here, Michael. Now, Christopher, since you're honest, all right, who causes more of the ruckus, you or him? No, it can't be equal. It's got to be one way or the other. You got to pick one. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Here, you can just sit right there. You won't have to stand up this whole time because you'll be up here. You can sit right there. Okay. All right. So we have an offender, and Michael is going to represent the Joseph's sons. Now, I'm going to do this because we have had a... let me put it this way. I don't know that I understood this until I got to reading, and God began to show me some things. So we have... Do you mind, guys, changing places? Because I'm going to be pointing to the wrong one. Okay? All right. We have the offender. Now, everybody in this room has offended somebody at some point in time. Everybody has. Let's all say amen. Okay. Everybody in this room has probably been offended. Whether realistically or in your mind, you feel that you have been offended, okay? That somebody has treated you evil, or maybe somebody has treated you evil, as far as we know, all right? So everybody has been in both spots, okay? The offender, the guy that does wrong, or the offendee. Now, just as a way of getting ready to go here, let me say this. I think most of the responsibility in this whole situation, and if you agree with me, you say amen. I think the majority of the responsibility in the offender and the offendee lies on the offender. Great. We're all wrong. I looked at this at the Bible and I thought, you know, the Bible will mess up a lot of your thinking. I thought, boy, I tell you what, here's them boys over there treating their brother bad and all this, and they're the offender. Amen? And so we're going to try to learn some lessons today. Now, hold your hand right there just real quick and turn over to Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to get the principle that Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, and then we'll come right back to Genesis chapter 50, and I promise you'll be out of here at the end. Okay? All right, so when Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, he gives them a model prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And down at verse number 14, though, down at verse number 14 in chapter 6, when he does the Lord's Prayer, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now look at verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you are unwilling to forgive, then you cannot have your sins forgiven no matter how much you ask. Okay? All right, now back in Genesis, we're going to look at these, at the offender. All right, Jacob has died. He has kind of been the security blanket, let's sort of say, for these brothers, knowing that as long as Dad's alive, Joseph's probably not going to retaliate for what we did. But you know, Dad's not going to live forever. And the reality is, one day, Dad's going to die. And you know, if Joseph's anything like us, I say, if Joseph's anything like you and me, he'll even up the score. Remember, I preached on this a few weeks ago. We just don't want to get even. We want to get ahead. So, sure enough, Jacob dies. And these boys over here come to the realization. They have a family meeting and said, you know what? Dad's dead. And I bet Joseph takes this time now to remember what happened many years ago whenever we treated him so badly. And it just may be that Joseph's going to take advantage of this situation. So here's what we're going to do. Now, what they're dealing with is guilt. They are dealing with guilt. Guilt of doing wrong. Now, listen to me. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that crowd. But if you are an offender and you cannot look somebody in the face with a clear conscience, then you are dealing with guilt. And the only way to get rid of that guilt is by confession. Not confession to God, but by confession to the person that you offended. And so they had made no attempt up until this point to reconcile or to make right the wrong that they had done. They had been enjoying the blessings of this guy, but they had not met, they had not dealt with their sin. And so they had been living maybe under the shadow or under the blanket of their dad, and now dad's dead, and they come to the realization that, you know what, this guilt's, we got to do something. So they sent a message and they said, listen, dad told us, these are grown men. They're not 12 years old. I mean, they're in their 60s. Maybe in their 70s. I mean, they are grown men. And they're saying, well, you know, dad said we need to get right. And I'm thankful that dad might have said that. So they made a confession of their sin. We pray thee, forgive us of the trespass that we did against you, when we were cruel and unusual punishment to you, and forgive us of the evil that we've done, and we'll just ask for forgiveness. Now listen, in this confession, there was humility. They put themselves in the place of a servant. They made a confession of the wrong that they did. I mean, if you're going to confess and you're going to make something right with somebody, you man up and say what you did wrong. Don't act like it was just an oversight or was just having fun. No, they got serious here. This is a true confession. We did wrong. We are humbling ourselves. They fell down at his feet. We are humbling ourselves. And by the way, that's the only way you can get forgiveness. And so they come to this point and they confess their sin. What a glorious thing this is. Now, the Bible says in verse number 17 that Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You know what? He had already, in some degree, forgiven his brothers. But it wasn't all forgiven, because there wasn't any confession there. And so the Bible says whenever they confess that Joseph finally, after all of these years, he's 56, that happened at 17 or 18 years old, so that's been for 38 years that he has been living with this offense of somebody that has done something wrong to him. So I don't care how long you've been living with this wrong that has been done to you, when somebody asks you to forgive them, you forgive them. It's just as hard for this guy to come and say forgiveness as it is for this guy to come and accept the forgiveness. And so the Bible says that he wept. He just began to pour out his heart. Now, aren't you glad today, just by way of thinking, aren't you glad today that whenever you confess your sins with a proper heart, that God forgives you? Aren't you happy today that whenever you have offended God and you come to God and you humble yourself and you say, God, I confess my sins, that the Bible says if we shall confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I'm glad about that. Boy, I tell you what, I'd be in a heap of trouble today if it wasn't for the grace of God and forgiveness. But you know, sometimes even in the Lord's model prayer, he says, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, in the same manner. So Jesus tells us, if you forgive, I'll forgive. If you don't forgive, then I won't forgive. Now there's a lot of people running around with a lot of burden on their heart and a lot of troubles in their heart because they're unwilling to forgive what people have done. Well, I'll tell you what. Okay. Well, let me tell you, Hoss. Let me tell you, sister. No sense to pray. Now, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool God. If you have an unforgiving heart, God knows it. And the best thing for you to do if you have an unforgiving heart is to get at this altar and get that thing right. So Joseph could have done what they said. They could have said, you know what, we believe old brother's gone. He's got the power now. Amen. He's got the authority to lay us. And he could have done that to them, and rightfully so. Yeah, rightfully so. But you know, as a Christian, did you hear what I said? As a Christian, we can't be like his brothers would have probably have been. And we can't act like this world acts and hold these grudges inside of us and have an unforgiving spirit. I was reading the other morning as I looked at this passage of Scripture, and the Bible says that when this happened, Joseph wept and he thought, man, I'm glad that my brothers have gotten right with God. Now, all of our attention, for the most part, is on Joseph's brothers. Most of the attention, whenever it comes to offenses among people, is always on the offender. Now, that's just our nature. And as I was reading this passage of Scripture, it just dawned on me in all of this. It wasn't dawned on me. The Holy Spirit just gave me something to help me. This guy over here has a responsibility, and that is to confess and make right. Now listen, if you are this guy, you need to make right. But the greater responsibility in this passage of Scripture is on this guy. Here's what I've conditioned my mind to think, that when Michael offends Christopher and he goes to him and he confesses, Chris, I stole your snacks out of your lunchbox and I'm really sorry about that, but you know what, brother, I just want you to forgive me. Then we would think it would be right, and maybe it would be in teaching of Scriptures. There are places where God says to make restitution for things that we have done wrong. But we would think in all the circumstances there that it is Mike's job to repair this relationship. Is that not right? We would think it's Michael's job to do all that he can do to make sure Chris likes him from here on out. We would think it's Michael's job to go to the extreme to get back right with him. But you read that passage of Scripture, and we're going to come over to the New Testament, and you'll find that's furthest thing from the teaching of the Bible. Yep. So here's what we learn. His brothers come over here, and they say, listen, we've sinned, we've trespassed all the evil that we did to you, and we're sorry. The Bible says that Joseph began to weep. And notice what the Bible says. In your Bibles, look there. In Joseph said, in verse number 19, Joseph said, fear not, for I am in the place of God. And by the way, what God is saying in the New Testament there in that is, listen, if you forgive, I'll forgive. All right? So he said, I'm in the place of God, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You say, well, I don't get where you're going. Well, if you're the offendee, if you've been offended by somebody, then you need to realize is that God is wanting to do something through this experience to help you to be like Christ, to conform us to the image of Christ. Now look at it here, real quick. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, now therefore fear not. I will nourish you. Well, that don't sound too humanistic to me. Maybe sounds spiritual, but it's not the way I think. I think that guy ought to be paying this guy. I think that guy ought to be doing more for this guy. You know, whenever his brothers asked for forgiveness, Joseph assumed the entire responsibility for this relationship now. This is my responsibility to do all that I can to build the relationship, the fellowship, and the comfort that my brothers need. You know, you can ask somebody to forgive you, but you know, sometimes they don't always act like they forgive you, so you don't know. You know, anybody can say, yeah, but you really don't know. So what does he say? This guy over here has the greater responsibility in this conflict. And if you're having a conflict with somebody and somebody has done you wrong, hey, you listen to me. If somebody has done you wrong, you have the greater responsibility than the offender. You say, well, I don't see that. Well, we're going to see it real quick. The Bible says, now therefore, fear not. Fear not. I don't want you to fear what I'm doing. He gave them the assurance of forgiveness. As the offendee, you need to assure the offender that you have forgiven them. You're not going to have to live your life in fear. Listen, you're not going to have to live your life in fear of being around me. I see Joseph coming. Uh-oh. I wonder if today's the day. I heard Joseph's having a bad day. Oh boy, that could spill over on us. Have you ever offended somebody and then you're back with them, but you have to kind of walk on pins and needles around them? Yeah, that's what he's saying you don't have to do with me. You don't have to fear. Michael, you don't have to fear. That's what he's saying. Jacob's brothers, or Joseph's brothers, you don't have to fear what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so y'all need to hang on here. And he said this. Joseph said, hey, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus promise us the over here as Joseph, Jesus, doesn't Jesus promise us the no fear of forgiveness? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So Joseph, in many cases, is a picture of Jesus. And if Joseph is a picture of Jesus, Jesus does not hold our sins against us. Hey, I'm telling you something here. Jesus does not hold our sins against us. When we ask for forgiveness, they are forgiven. And who takes the responsibility in our relationship with Christ and us to make sure that that relationship is better than what it was before? It's surely not us, ladies and gentlemen. It is God. And sitting here today, this guy right here represents Joseph, who had outstanding character, but he represents Christ, who makes all provisions for us, and he represents the way we're to be whenever somebody has offended us. We're to give them the assurance that we have forgiven them, and they ought not to ever fear to come into our presence and talk with us and fellowship with us, ever mindful that we'll never bring up what they did. And he never did bring it up. They brought it up, but they were guilty. Now it's never brought up. For 54 years, they never had to live in the fear that their brother would ever retaliate. And as long as I live, ladies and gentlemen, I have been forgiven by the grace of God, and I never one time have to fear of the wrath of God. The Bible says, fear not. Number two, look at there in verse 21. I'll nourish you. He gave them the assurance of acceptance. You know, we're accepted in the Beloved. You know, his brothers had to wonder over here. They had to wonder, said, well, I wonder what we'll have to be doing. He'll probably throw us in jail. And rightfully so, they thought maybe. But you know what? Joseph went over there and he said, hey, I'm not only going to forgive you, but I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do all that you need to live. Here he is, Joseph. Here he is, Jesus, sitting right here. And in our relationship with Christ, he not only forgives us, but he gives us strength to walk with him even after we failed. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, y'all ain't in on this, but I'm telling you, this is a great truth. I can tell by the way you're sitting here, you're thinking, I ain't getting it. I'm telling you, it's a great truth. Because so many times sitting in our church are people that have been offended, and the offendees sitting here, and we think it's all on the offender to get up and to make everything right and to do things and this. Whenever the Bible teaches just the opposite, it is this guy's responsibility. It is the offendee's responsibility to assure the offender that there is acceptance. You're my friend. Well, I'll forgive you, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. You ever done that? Now, come on. Somebody, well, I'll tell you what. I've forgiven them, but I sure ain't going to have nothing to do with them anymore. Well, let me tell you what. Then you're not like Jesus. Why don't you nourish them? You know what it means to nourish, don't you? Sure. You need nourishment. Why don't you feed them some things? I wrote down some things they might need. I think probably more than just the food, which that's one thing that Joseph gave them, more than just the food. I think he probably nourished them with a lot of love. Amen. Hey, I'm going to have my brothers over for lunch. You are? Sure. They got the note. Here comes the telegram, the guy down there. He said, hey, Joseph wants to see you. He wants to have lunch with you. In their mind, this is it. This is where we're getting whacked. Amen? This is it. You know what he's thinking? Well, I can't wait to see my brothers. Comes up, hugs them. They had different greetings of what we do, but greeted them, and never one time did he bring up. Love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible tells us. Yeah. I think he nourished them with fellowship. I only think that was a one time. I believe over the next 54 years he went out of his way. Hey, did you hear what I said? He went out of his way to make sure that they understood that he loved them. He went out of his way. Maybe that's why Jesus said, he that compels you to go 1 mile, go with him twain. I believe he overdone them with fellowship. I believe he wanted them to know that listen, this guy right here wanted them to know, Joseph wanted his brothers to know, that listen, you are accepted. Nourished them with love, and he nourished them with fellowship, and he nourished them with acceptance, and he nourished them with blessings. Hey, let me ask you this. We have been conditioned in our world, if this is the offender, Michael, and the Bible does teach restitution, but not everything has to have restitution. What else could Michael do other than just say, Chris, I'm sorry for something that he did? What else could he do? See, you have heard, it hath been said, let me put it that way. It hath been said, I say it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah. But the Lord said, I don't want you to do that. You're a Christian. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, let me ask you this, Christian. Somebody offended you. And what have you done to be a blessing to them? Chris, you said Michael has offended you, all right, and done something to you. I don't want any details, all right? I don't believe that in church. But you know, you have a responsibility now to be a blessing to him. Did I read that? How about whenever this guy called Jesus forgives us? And the Bible says he blesses us with all spiritual blessings. See, I ain't making that stuff up. I'm thinking to myself, I have sat so many times where Chris is sitting, and I have been offended by somebody, and I have just sat there waiting with my arms crossed like some of you are today in spirit, saying, and you know what? That guy owes me, and he owes me a blessing. This guy can't give a blessing. He ain't got no blessings to give. Do you hear me? He doesn't have anything. What do you give to the guy that owns everything? You hear what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? He has nothing to give. We have nothing to give to God. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. But what does God give to us? He just gives us blessing after blessing after blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who daily loadeth us with benefits. I thought we were to load Him with benefits. What are you going to give to God? Think I'll go down there at the dollar store and buy God something. I'd go down there at K Jewelers and buy Him something. God made all that stuff down there. What are you going to give God? You ain't got nothing to give God. God has to give you. Are you getting this, ladies and gentlemen? The Bible says He nourished them. And then He said He spake comforted. He comforted them. Man, when they came into church, He didn't keep His distance. He said, nope, going over there and seeing my brothers. Fellowship to it. See, some of us sitting in this room today have got this thing all mixed up, and I'm one of them. Because somebody offends me, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I just try to, you know, I can forgive them, but I ain't much on fellowshipping. Right? I mean, that's the way we are. And the Bible says is that He comforted them. He comforted them. He comforted them. Why did they need comforted? Because they felt like a stinking dog. Man, they were at the bottom. I mean, they were at His mercy. And you know what He did? He didn't say, all right, now go over and live in Goshen and I don't want to see your face anymore until Jesus comes. I'll tell you what, now you're forgiven. But no, He didn't say that. You know, I thought of two verses in the Bible. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. I think Joseph could have said something like this, boys, as long as I'm living, you're my brothers. And there'll be peace between you and me. I thought of another verse. Jesus said, it is expedient that I go, for if I go not away, then I will. If I go away, then I can send the Comforter. Isn't that good? And so Jesus, Joseph, comforted his brothers. Jesus sends us the Comforter. We're the offender. You see the responsibility of the offendee? And then the Bible says, and He spake kindly unto them. Boy, I tell you what, our church could use a lesson in speaking kindly one to another. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindly. I was in the hospital. I won't bore you with a lot of details. I was in the hospital up early one morning with my mom, and I stepped out the door to see if the nurse was there. And I'm telling you, they have a nurse station here, and then down there they have a nurse station. And there was a girl as tall as I am, maybe a little bit taller, and she was as beefy as I am. And I'm telling you what, she was not speaking kindly. She told that little girl behind that desk, I'll come on the other side of that desk. That sparks the interest of any guy. Amen? We're going to see a fight. The little girl behind the desk was so kind and polite. She was smiling. She says, I'll do what I can to get this resolved. You're going to do... You know, on that side of that counter where that girl was, who was as tall as I am, as beefy as I am, as some of God's people, just as hateful can be. And on that side is a Joseph speaking so kindly. I stayed there until she looked down and saw me, and I thought, man, I better get back in the room. She'll come down here and thump my head, amen. Hate to have to break out my ninja skills on her, I'm telling you. Wonder about that. How about that person that's offended you? Come on now. How about that person that offended you? Are you just a little bit short with them, a little sarcastic with them? I can be pretty sarcastic about stuff on purpose and without thinking about it sometimes. The Bible says some words are like swords, the piercing of a sword. I can't ever imagine Joseph seeing his brothers and them get to talking and talking about something that happened whenever he was gone for those 13 years and all of a sudden them bring up something and him say like this, "Well, I wouldn't have known, I wasn't there." Wonder what he meant by that. I wonder what he meant by that. Well, let me tell you what I would have meant by that. You sorry rotten thing, you sold me into slavery and now I couldn't enjoy what you're enjoying because of you. That's what he meant by that. And they would have known what he meant by that. And let me tell you something, Christian. Whenever you speak words like that to somebody that has offended you, they know what you're saying. Sure. I looked at this passage of Scripture and I got three lessons out of it. Number one is this. Let me find them here. The Bible says this is a lesson in character. Yep. This is a lesson in character. Let me put it this way. This is a lesson in Christian character. Amen. This is the way a Christian ought to be. Now, most of us in this room claim or identify as a Christian. But most of us, by example, don't act like it when it comes to this thing of being offended. We are the offendee. Put yourself right here. And most of us expect that guy to do it all. And the picture of Joseph and the picture of Jesus could not be further from what that is. Can you imagine the Bible says whenever the disciples were all troubled about Jesus and Jesus looked at him and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, boys." You know what we might have said? "Fellas, now I've been telling you this long enough. Now suck it up." Yeah. See, sometimes we're not so kind. We're not so compassionate. You know why? Because we lack the character of Christ. You say, "Well, Brother Tim, I'll tell you what, I'm done." I heard somebody the other day say, "Well, I'll tell you what, church is just full of hypocrites." Hell's full of them too. Church just has a few in it. Hell's got all of them in it. "Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't going back to church there. That church, The devil suckered you, buddy. That's what I'd say. I say that's what I'd say. But you know, as a church, maybe that's why the Apostle Paul might have just said some little verse like this, "Ye which are spiritual." I mean, the Bible's just full of things like that. "Ye which are spiritual, help those that have fallen." You mean we're to go out of our way to help that guy over there that knows better and should do better? Yeah, I think so. It's called Christian character. Number two, it's the lesson of Christ. You'll never be more like Christ than when you're sitting over here in Joseph's place. You'll never be more like Christ. Hey, listen, you'll never be more like Christ. You'll never be more like Jesus than whenever you go out of your way to be a blessing and a help to somebody who has offended you. We got a whole lot of Christians that are everything but Christ-like. We act like the world. We talk like the world. We respond like the world when somebody does us wrong. And whatever it takes, they're going to know it. Now, Lord, please forgive me. I've just got a few faults, but I'll tell you what, we're grabbing them by the throat. Third lesson is the lesson of a Christian. God tells us to be a Christian. Don't go around telling people you're a Christian if you're going to have a hateful attitude towards everybody that offends you. You know, ladies and gentlemen, through my lifetime and through your lifetime, there's been people who has offended us. I was thinking when my sister called me, and I can honestly say this, I was thinking when my sister called me, if my mother dies today, I can honestly say I have never in 54 years had a cross word with my mom. Not one. Not one. We have never one time ever been in an argument. Not one. I have never responded hatefully to my mom. Not one time. She's never said something and me, you know, go at her. Never one time. No. Nope. Just haven't. Never one time. Now, having said that, listen to this. I can't say that about everybody else. I look back at 20 years of ministry here, over 21 years of ministry, and I wish I could go back to the age of 32 and start over again. I'd have a little different attitude, but you know I can't do that. I haven't always been a Christian in the way that I've acted. But you know, I've looked at that verse and I thought, boy, you say, Brother Tim, I don't see this, okay? So I'm going to bring up a different example. And if you don't get it, then you're just blind. You have a parent and you have a child. And the child messes up. Who exerts or who gives more to rebuild that relationship, the parent or the child? Every time the parent. Every time the parent. Why? Because that's what you do. Because you love that child. And because God loves you, He's always seeking us. You know, if you backslide on God, that God always comes looking for you? Yeah. You come running from God, guess what? God always comes knocking at your door. Hey! Adam! You sorry rotten thing. He could have yelled that from the end of the garden. Adam, you sorry rotten thing. I know you're in there somewhere. And I'll tell you what, whenever you get fed up, you just come on over here and try to make that right. What'd God say? Adam, where you at? I'm hid out over here. Yeah. I believe he came right where he was at. He said, Adam, I know you're there. Come here. Adam come with his head all down, shame. He said, Adam, have you took of that fruit? Of course, Adam tried to lie out of it. God knew better. But it was God that restored that fellowship. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, in this matter, now listen, if you are the offendee and somebody in the past 21 years has offended you since I've been the pastor of this church, me, my family, somebody over here, somebody over there, it's your job to restore it, to be like Christ. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, I did the best to share what I and God, to preach the and to convey the truth of the word. And I'm not sure what kind of hearts received it, But I pray there were some good hearts that received it this morning. Now, God, we all can rejoice in the fact that God loves us and forgives us, and God's always seeking us. But, Lord, sometimes we're not as gracious to others. And we're going to make people pay penance that have offended us. And we're going to make them pay with silence, and we're going to make them pay with such misery. And we ain't even going to be like you. Now, Lord, I believe you've had me preach this for myself and for a lot of others in this room. And you knew everybody would be in this room. Now, there may be an offender in here. Somebody that's offended another person. Somebody that's offended the church. Somebody that's offended Christ. Somebody that's offended their mate, their family. Don't know. And I pray, God, they'll get their heart right. But I feel, God, there's probably more offendee spirits in here than there are offenders. And Lord, I must confess how I have failed to take my role as the offendee and make right. And God, to be a blessing to somebody. Lord, I get so cross and so full of me that, Lord, it's a wonder you can do anything. But Lord, I believe you spoke to some hearts in here as the offendee. And God, I pray that through this week they'll make the effort to be obedient, to be a blessing and a help to those in need. A forgiveness and a blessing. In Christ we pray. Let's stand.